As you are turning to Romans 10, where we will take our text this morning, I want to again tell you how thankful we are that you are here. We had an unusually large service at the attendance at the service at 8 o'clock this morning. We realize there are many visitors, and we're thankful that each of you came. Someone has suggested that the work of a gospel preacher probably is more varied than any other type of work. We are with people at their highest highs and their lowest lows. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. That has been emphasized especially to me in the last few days. Saturday of last week, week before last now, we buried Doris Riley. Tomorrow we will bury Gene Record. Death has hit our congregation this year and last year in an unusually large way. And we need to realize how important it is for us to be with each other and work with each other and encourage one another. On the other hand, I have an opportunity to be there many times in the waiting room as the nervous father-to-be is waiting to hear that the baby is born. Have an opportunity to be with families when there's a wedding. In fact, I had an unusual situation Friday and Saturday. On Friday night, I assisted a young man in being married, and then on Saturday night, assisted him in being married again. Now, I don't think you'll be asleep after that. I baptized him Friday night as he married Christ and performed the wedding ceremony Saturday night as he married his bride. It's only twice, I think, that that's happened in my lifetime. But after the rehearsal dinner Friday night, he said, I want to go back to the building and be baptized into Christ tonight. And then I had the privilege of marrying them yesterday. I would not swap my work as a gospel preacher for anything on this earth. The highest highs and the lowest lows. It's a part of the Lord's work, and it's a wonderful opportunity, and I appreciate the opportunity to be with you in the work here. Romans 10 includes one of the more familiar verses in the Bible at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Many of you that are here this morning can quote that verse. I think it was one of the first verses that I learned when I began preaching. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This morning, I want us just to analyze that verse, particularly in the context of the chapter, to see if it can help us to have a little stronger prop on which to lean in difficult times and maybe appreciate more those good times in life. There are a few subjects in the Bible, or anywhere else for that matter, if any, that are more important than the subject of faith. Faith is the very foundation on which all other aspects of Christianity must be built. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, states Hebrews 11, verse 6. In fact, the entire system of Christianity is referred to as the faith. In Jude 3, where we're admonished to contend for it. In Galatians 1:23, where it is said that this is what Paul first persecuted and later preached. The faith. The very system of Christianity. A system that includes our belief in the birth, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. Believing that he is at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us, even at this very moment. Faith is so important. As we look at verse 17, I want us to think about three things. First, faith cometh. Faith cometh. That means that it is produced, that it is developed, that in some way or other it is personally obtained by the individual. As you look back through the 10th chapter of Romans, you will notice the importance of salvation. It is mentioned as a desire,
in verse 1. It's mentioned in the latter part of verse 9, verse 10, verse 13. And in connection with that subject of salvation, he especially mentions in verses 9 and 10 how faith or belief is involved in taking us in the direction, at least, of obtaining that salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Faith is important, and it's something that comes. That says to us, in the first place, that faith is not something that we have at birth. When a baby is born, it seems to have the built-in appetite for food, but not so for faith. Oh, I suppose there is a way, at least it is suggested that there is a way in which all human beings, as they begin to develop, begin to look for some kind of higher power. But faith is not something that is there at the point of birth. It must be developed. Neither is faith inherited, nor the genes that control what kind of faith we have or how strong that faith might be. Now, it was already determined when I was born how tall I would be, what the color of my skin would be, the color of my eyes. I inherited those factors from my parents. But I did not inherit my faith from them. It may well be that there is a sense in which sometimes in our earlier years, our faith tends to be of the inherited nature. That we are what we are simply because of our parents or others. I'm thankful that both my parents are Christians and that their influence, no doubt, is very much involved in where I am today spiritually. But faith is not inherited. Faith cometh. It's not something that's automatic. You cannot order it out of the Sears catalog, if that catalog continues. You cannot purchase it off of a shelf at a store. No one can give it to you. It is impossible for me this morning to force you to believe that God exists or any other fact. I cannot force faith into your heart. It is not something that is given by someone else. Oh, someone else may teach, another may encourage. We may contribute to the development of faith, and yet true faith that will stand the tide of the times and the winds that beat upon the house that is built is something that cometh. It has to be developed. And let me just point out in passing on this point that when we feel that the props have been knocked out from under us, when there are difficult times in our lives, we may very well be leaning on the wrong props. We may be trying to make it with an inherited faith instead of a developed faith. True faith cometh. But let's add another word or two to that from this verse. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. The word hearing is used in the Bible in at least two ways. One, to suggest that someone is aware that something is being said. It registers on the brain that something's being said. He hears it in that sense. And then there is the complete idea of hearing, meaning that there is understanding. That one not only registers in his thinking that something has said, but he puts it into proper focus and he hears what is being said. The Bible says, hearing we hear not, and seeing we see not. And sometimes my wife says, hearing I hear not. There are different types of hearing. It is possible for a person to sit in an audience like this and hear something in the sense of registering that it took place, or maybe even hearing the words to where they could be quoted back without really hearing. Without really hearing and understanding the message that is involved. If faith comes by hearing, that means that it is not developed by some kind of a miracle. I remember specifically one fellow who was a part of the congregation where I preached in the early 60s, and he said for years that he tried to get God to come into his heart by getting out in the cornfield and just rolling from row to row. He said, I would pray to him to come into my heart and give me faith, and he said, I finally realized that I had to get up out of the cornfield and get that faith somewhere else. And if you will study the book of Acts and look at all the cases of conversion, you will never find a case where the teaching that produced faith and how to obey came with a miracle. Now, don't misunderstand me. There was the miracle on Pentecost to get their attention and to help them hear in their own language, but the teaching was done by the mouth of man. There was the miracle at the household of Cornelius to bring Peter and Cornelius together. Series of miracles, in fact. And sometimes after the teaching was done, there may have been miracles or signs to confirm the teacher and the teaching. But that which produced the faith was always the simple proclamation, the teaching of the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, not by some kind of miracle. Faith does not come from some feeling. Don't misunderstand me. Feelings are important. Our emotions are involved. Christians ought to feel good about serving God, believing in God, believing in Christ. But we do not prove what we believe by our feelings. For there is a way that seemeth right to a man, and then thereof the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. Paul thought that he was serving God when he was persecuting the church. He was sincere. He had a faith in that, but it was not the right faith because he was basing it upon something else and to some extent upon his feelings. Those in Matthew 7 who shall get to the day of judgment and say, God, look, all we've done in thy name, we felt like we were right. Jesus says, I never knew you. Faith comes by hearing, not by feeling. It's not the feeling sense that's involved in producing faith. It is the hearing, perhaps combined with the seeing, that helps us to really hear the message that is there. Neither does faith come by just staring and registering words. Sometimes we sit, and I've had this happen to me, all of us probably have, and we're looking at the person who is speaking, and we're hearing what he's saying, but it's not really registering as to the importance of it. Sometimes I think that may happen too often, that we just don't really listen. Listen to what is being said in the sense of understanding it and hearing it to take it into our minds. Verses 14 through 16 of this same chapter, just before our text verse today, talks about the process of teaching. How are they going to believe if they don't hear? And how are they going to hear if there's not somebody to teach? And how are they going to teach if they're not sent? The whole process of teaching so that there can be the message and there can be the hearing of that message. Folks, faith comes by hearing, not miracle or feeling. And then add another word or two. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Here's where the really important point comes in. Faith comes, it's developed. Faith comes by hearing. That's the way we take the message into our minds. But not only must we be concerned about how we hear, we must be concerned about what we hear if we're going to have the right kind of faith. Had you ever thought about the fact that everybody has some system of faith? Even the atheist. Oh, an atheist doesn't have faith. Oh, yes, he does. He wasn't here when man started. He has some kind of faith. Everybody today has some kind of faith about the origin of man, the history of man, and the future of man. But we're talking about the right kind of faith. And that faith comes from hearing the Word of God. And folks, it may just very well be that the reason for a weak faith is because little time is spent with the book. Little time is spent with the book. to hear the Word of God. Again, the Word of God is emphasized even back in verse 8 of this chapter. The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The Word of faith. You see, the Word of faith which we preach, the Word that will produce the faith, is what is to be preached. Our faith will not be developed by the preaching of opinions. The opinions of men can cause vain worship. Matthew 15, verse 9. Faith is not developed by scholarship. Now, don't misunderstand me here. I'm thankful for every person who has studied and developed and has scholarship to help us in the background of the meaning of words and the development of the Bible and how it came about. But the final proof on any point is not made by scholarship. I would suggest to you this morning that if you picked any subject, particularly any religious subject, you could find those who are called scholars on this side of it and those who are called scholars on this side of it. Exactly the opposite. Faith is not determined by scholarship. Sometimes I'll have the question asked, how can so many smart men differ? If that smartness is based on man's scholarship, there is the reason. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, not proving what we believe by scholarship. Many times scholarship strengthens our faith, but it is not the developing principle, basic principle behind our faith. Faith does not come by direct revelation today. Within the last few weeks, as I have read and watched television, I have seen and heard of those who are claiming direct revelation. God spoke to me and told me this. And if you listen the next day, another fellow says, God spoke to me and told me just the opposite of what this one says he told him. Now, if that's the God we're serving, we've got problems. And if there is direct revelation today, we've got problems with the Bible. It is complete, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All things that pertain to life and godliness delivered, 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Our faith today is not dependent upon direct revelation, but upon the revelation. Faith comes by the Word of God. And our faith is not going to be developed just by books of men. It seems to me, and this is a judgment call, but I believe it is true, that there is more dependence upon the writings of men today than in many ages gone by. And there is a tendency to quote what some person has said about something. And here again, you can find men writing anything about any subject. I certainly believe that books can be helpful to us. I think if you looked in my office, in my library, you would know that I believe that. Sometimes I will buy books. In fact, I have in the last month buy books that I really believe teach error in order to see what is being taught, to try to understand it, and to put it into proper focus. Because of that, I could step in my office this morning, and I could pick one book off of the shelf that teaches one thing, and I could pick another one off the shelf that teaches just the opposite of that. Now, how am I going to develop faith on that subject if I depend just on men's books? And what's happening, in my opinion today, is that there is a tendency for us to close the book as we open men's books. Men's books can be helpful along with an open Bible, but not with a closed Bible. Folks, the faith that we have in God and in all the teaching relative to worship and Christian living comes from hearing the Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word. Why do we believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior? Why do we believe that we observe His death, burial, and resurrection every Lord's Day as we surround His table? Why do we believe that He came forth from the grave and that He's at the right hand of the throne of God? You close this book, and there is no way that we can have that kind of faith. Our faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And we must somehow or other get ourselves back into that Word more and more, spend more time with it, teach it more, but especially read it more and study it and get into that message to where we can have faith that will stand no matter how difficult the times may be. There are many things happening in the world today that concern us, and I'm rather sure that we'll not be able to change all of them in the right direction. But I submit to you this morning that the faith that cometh by hearing the word of God is strong enough to help us to stand and face those difficulties and keep ourselves on the right side, even if we can't change the wrongs that surround us. Faith comes. It's developed. It comes by hearing, an open mind to really dig into the message. And it comes only from the Word of God itself. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Later in that chapter, he talks about obedience in verse 17, that not all obeyed the gospel. Verse 16. Back in verses 11 and 12, he says that we have the opportunity to call on the name of the Lord through this faith that's being talked about. We see an example of that in Acts 22 with Saul of Tarsus being told to arise and be baptized and call on the name of the Lord. We have that opportunity to be Christians based on that foundation of faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. You and I will listen to that message this morning. It will lead us to be obedient. If you will develop that faith that comes from hearing the Word of God, you will see the need of penitence and confession and baptism for the remission of sins. You will see the need of returning to God when you've gone astray. It is that faith that comes from hearing the Word of God that will cause you to move in the direction of Christ, as together we stand and sing.